Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing real well. Thank you, Marcus.
It's good to talk to you again. It's been a little over a year, and about a year since you played Philly with Unknown, Henson, Nashville, Pussy, and Lucky Tub as well. And it was a fun show. You're playing the Ardmore in 9 days. You're playing with Big Sandy and the Blasters on the bill. What can we expect from you at this show?
Well, for one thing, you got to remember, Big Sandy is joining us. So not opening, we play for about 30, 45 minutes, and then Big Sandy comes out and we back him up.
Just like what you did with Unknown Henson.
Right, right. So it's kind of good, worth clarifying that so people know. But it's a lot of fun. You know, we love, you know, backing up these other artists like that. And especially with a guy like Big Sandy, he's super, super entertaining and talented. So,
what made you decide to bring him and the Blasters on this little tour with you?
Well, for one thing, the Blasters are a giant influence on me, as well as Big Sandy. I mean, both those artists have been major influences over what I do. I mean, the first time I saw the Blasters was way back in the late 70s, early 80s. And it blew my mind. I got the record, and it really kind of sent me off in this whole direction of rockabilly and roots rock and roll. I was already going that direction, but you know, to see them, they came through and they played the local punk rock bar called the Hot Club, and it kind of made me realize that, you know, the rockabilly rhythm and blues stuff that I really love all of a sudden would translate into a punk rock. I mean, who knew, you know? And they were great, and so they still are. And so, you know, it's great having them and Big Sandy. And Big Sandy, when I first saw him, it was our first trip out to California. And man, we were doing pretty well. I mean, we were touring all over America, but we hadn't been to California. And we got out there, we kind of got our ass handed to us.
How so?
Well, because they were so slick and so good and so authentic, and you know, it was impressive. You know, it made us think, man, we better go practice. Anyway, some of these shows have Junior Brown on them too, so I don't know if that one does or not, but he's a giant influence on me as well. So this tour is really heartfelt. And another thing, it's because we're doing a lot of Christmas songs. It's Christmas time, so we have a whole little Christmas stage set, and we're playing some goofy versions of Christmas songs, so that's kind of another thing.
You just finished recording an album, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yes and no. We took the summer off to record a new album, and ended up being, I'm not really sure that we got it completely, but the good news is we've got enough songs. We've got some good songs, but I think we might have to re-record it and try to get it a little bit better. So I'm going to be deciding on that here in the next week, and we may go back in the studio the first of next year, but no matter what, it's imminent.
Now, when you say that they're not quite right and you might have to re-record them, are you unhappy with the arrangement? Like, are you not sure about the arrangement that the band put together of the song? Are you tweaking things? What are you doing that you're not really quite sure about? If you want to say, if not, I totally respect that, and we'll edit this out.
Well, no, it's all good. The sounds, I think we could get a little bit better sound overall on a couple of the songs. And it's kind of a shame because RJ, the drummer, and Jimbo really nailed their parts. And, you know, so, but you know what? I know we can do it again. And on that being said, I may tweak a couple of arrangements. There's one song I'm thinking about shortening a little bit. But other than that, it's all there. It's there and ready. You know, my thing is just that I'm real picky about the way stuff sounds. You know, it's hard. That's basically all it is. And, you know, a lot of the stuff I think is good. I really haven't had time to listen to it too much because after we did that, it's been crazy for us. This is a highly competitive business, and for us to stay competitive, we're doing all this crazy stuff, you know, learning other people's material and doing these festivals and where we back up other people, and then now Christmas songs and backing up Big Sandy. So it's fun, but it's, you know, it's time consuming. But
I was reading an interview, one of the few interviews you've done in 2017 that I have seen typed out on the internet, and you were talking about how this new album, some of the new music, has a lot of the and roll in the rock and roll.
Uh-huh, yep.
Do you feel that the and roll aspect has been missing from, or is missing from, rock music today? And if so, what is that and roll that you think is missing?
Well, for me, rock and roll is a whole thing. But for me, a rock and roll beat is straight eights. So it's straight eights on the piano, like Jerry Lee or Little Richard pounding straight eights on the piano. And it's more of a straight, you know, and, you know, that beat actually got completely thrown out of music. Even though they called it rock and roll, there really wasn't that going on until punk rock came back around, and the Ramones and the Sex Pistols were, you know, back using the straight eight kind of feel. And so there's at least 3 or 4 songs that stick to that feel pretty close, even though they're still different beats, and you know, you can adjust the tempo a little bit. If you take a straight eight rock and roll beat, like A Whole Lot of Shaking by Jerry Lee Lewis,
yeah,
bah, 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 and then slow it down, it's rock. You know, then it's bum, 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 bum. From my point of view, when rock came in, so kind of some of the energy went away because it was slower. Well, rock and roll to me is faster and more. Has got some energy, but, you know, listen, I'm just one guy. I have some crazy opinions that I myself disagree with my own opinions sometimes.
It's interesting to hear how everybody views rock and roll, because if you look at the entire family tree of rock and roll and even go back to the very beginnings, you know, it's just fascinating, uh-huh, the history of rock and roll, and it goes way back. And so for you to talk about your opinion of rock and roll under this big family tree, it's not far-fetched, and it's not really crazy. It's part of the whole big tree.
Right. And I think that back in those early days, it was the dawn of the recording industry. And the recording industry, they were getting better and better technology on recording the sounds of these people. But they needed the people. They needed the talent. So they found the talent. They found Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald. And then rock and roll, they found Elvis and Bill Haley and Jerry Lee Lewis and all that. But then the record business became such a giant industry. It became this machine that started always constantly reaching for whatever is the new thing that's going to make them a lot of money.
Yeah.
And in the process, they started manufacturing their own artists to try to make that happen and make a lot of money. And a lot of the inherent talent of America that was just there already, regardless of the recording industry, they just kind of threw them aside, you know. And so consequently, a lot of music kind of happened that I think was more of a industry generated artist, as opposed to just natural artists just doing the music that was exciting and got a room full of people dancing or motivated.
I agree with you, because I think one of the many things about rock and roll that makes it so wonderful is that booty shaking aspect of it. You want to shake your booty and tap your toes and kind of sweat and move around and, you know, groove around.
It's, exactly.
It is, and it makes sense. Now, do you find that with rock and roll slowed down to more of a rock, that the lyric style has changed, or thematically lyrics have changed and become darker and maybe even heavier and more depressing, yet still tapping on real feelings?
Well, you know, it could be, but one thing about lyrics that, you know, in the early days of jazz, rock and roll, and country, up until the Beatles are kind of a good example, because the Beatles saying, "I want to hold your hand," oh, that's just some silly, goofy teenage song, but people can relate to the urgency of a new relationship, and, you know, you want to hold the girl's hand, but you're afraid to ask her, and it's an exciting time in a person's life, and people can relate to that. Well, then the Beatles started getting into this psychedelic, and somewhere in the 60s, in my opinion, lyrics kind of went off the rail, because it started getting more abstract, you know, and they pretended it was more cerebral, but it really wasn't. It was just more lyrics that you couldn't really understand. What Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, what is that about? You know, mm-hmm. Oh, dude, it's about acid. Well, okay, it's about acid. What about it? You know, to me, it's not near as an important lyric as "I want to hold your hand," or, you know, "Help, I need somebody," you know.
Yeah.
So right there in the 60s, lyrics kind of started to get off into this abstract area that almost became to me like an inside joke, that I wasn't a part of that inside joke. So, you know, the more straight ahead lyrics of rock and roll, they used a lot of innuendo. Yes,
yeah.
Innuendo. Double meanings, yes.
Yep.
But hidden meanings. The hidden meanings is where, from my personal taste, it kind of lost me. It lost me. But, you know, some people, you know, like, and frankly, Reverend Horton Heat, I've had a couple of lyrics where they were a little more abstract, but not many. Not many. Maybe a couple.
Now, did you get to play any new guitars you've never played before while recording this album?
I started using a T.K. Smith built. It's called a Smith Special, and he's actually, the first time I saw him, he was playing guitar at Big Sandy, and he's a phenomenal guitar player, one of the best rockabilly guys ever, but he started kind of going off into more Western swing and jazz stuff, and he's now a really great jazz player, but he builds these guitars that are vintage. They're real good. It's like a vintage guitar, except he makes it new, and he builds his own pickups, and so I played one of those a little bit on the new album. But in general, I'm pretty used to my Reverend Horton Heat model Gretsch, so I kind of stick to that. But it's a very versatile guitar, so I can several different tones out of just that my one guitar that I'm normally used to. So. Yeah.
Will you be taking a T.K. Smith Special on the road with you, or will you be only playing your Reverend Horton Heat?
No, well, on this particular trip, I don't have the Smith Special because we brought a bunch of extra stuff for our Christmas set, and then having Big Sandy out here with us, and we also have a piano player with us now, and so we're hauling around a piano. I just bring two guitars and call it a day on this one, so I didn't bring the Smith Special, but...
Earlier this year over in Colorado, you did a bunch of shows with Jello Biafra. A friend of mine, actually a couple friends of mine that I grew up with were at those shows and loved them. Did you have fun playing with Jello this year?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He is a trip. He's so funny. He's super entertaining on stage, but, you know, he's a great, great singer. You know, the punk rock is not necessarily known for having singers that are really, really good singers, but he is. He's real, real good. He's got an incredible range and vibrato and all that type of stuff. So and his own style, too. So, yeah, we love having Jello with us, and hopefully we'll be doing that again soon, too.
How did your friendship with Jello begin?
Well, one thing that's cool about Jello is that unlike 99% of the rock stars in this world, Jello loves to go out and be in the club and see the bands. And he's way more accessible than 99% of other rock stars. He goes out, he goes to see the bands, he knows all about the young, new bands. And so it's one reason why he was out there, and he would come to Reverend Horton Heat shows. And so he'd be hanging out every time we played San Francisco, or, you know, he's based, his parents live in Boulder, so a lot of gigs in Boulder or Denver he'd be at too. It's pretty cool in that respect. Another guy that was like that was Lemmy from Motorhead. Lemmy was always coming to see our shows, and he would, you know, he liked to go see bands, you know, and he, I guess he learned to handle getting the bum rush from all the fans wanting his picture and autograph all night long. So,
do you do that when you're at home or when you're traveling around and you have nights off? Do you go see bands in small clubs?
Well, we try to. Me and my wife have kids, and it gets harder and harder. But we still go see bands, yes, but not as much as I'd like. And it's kind of sad because since we have kids, I mean, sometimes some really good shows come through Dallas that I just can't make. So, but they get a little older, you know. As they get older, we can take them with us.
Now, have your kids seen you play?
Oh yeah.
Are they out on the dance floor boogieing?
Well, they're just now getting to the age where it doesn't scare the crap out of them. My little one used to tell me, she goes, "Daddy, when I see you do that, it kind of scares me."
Oh, that's so cute.
I go, "Yeah, it's like I'm another person." She goes, "Yeah." But they're really starting to get it now. We just did a Horton's Hayride at my own festival out in California, and they were there the whole way through. They were there on the side of the stage. They really loved it. And my teenager was real helpful, helping everybody take pictures, and she was really cool to have around. So, yeah, it's getting better and easier. I'm pretty proud of them. They know Johnny Cash comes on. They know who it is, or Frank Sinatra, or Elvis. They know who all those are. And then, so, yeah, hopefully they surprise me. They know all these other, they get all the new stuff from their friends. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Who's The Weeknd?
I read another interview where Link Wray came up in an interview, and I think you play with somebody who's tied to Link Wray. Do you think Link Wray will be enshrined in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year?
sure hope so. He should be, because he's really ties a lot of different styles of music together. You know, he ties country music with surf music. He ties rockabilly with heavy metal. You know, in a lot of ways, to me, he's kind of the grandfather of heavy metal. You know, to have a guy that, you know, was Western, bluesy, heavy metal, rockabilly, and surf all at the same time. I mean, yeah, he was a great guy, great, and his recordings are still super listenable. He should be in it. We've been playing a lot of shows with Robert Gordon, backing him up, like we backed up Jello and Big Sandy and Lemmy and all that. And Robert Gordon had the first couple of albums had him, had Link Wray playing guitar with him.
Do you think it'll take a few years realistically for him to get in, or do you think he has a good shot on the first year?
Well, I don't know, and I quite frankly, I'm a little disappointed with the whole Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because to me, a lot of the stuff that they're putting in that now is not even rock and roll, so it's almost like it doesn't even matter.
Are there any new bands that you're enjoying right now?
Yeah, there's this band, J.D. McPherson, and he's really great, and he's done three albums. He just released his third album, and they're all real good. He does that rock and roll thing. He's got a little bit of a Larry Williams, Little Richard vocal style thing going, but then his second album, he kind of threw a curveball. It got a little bit more, he got something a little bit modern in it, but he's still a roots rocker, but he's real good. His lyrics maybe get a little abstract, but he's a great lyricist. He's a great singer, a great songwriter, great band, and a lot of his stuff sounds real epic. So J.D. McPherson is great. He's my favorite. But there's also sorts of other, people doing good stuff out there that I like a lot. So.
And do you have any special holiday plans? Do you cook any holiday dishes? Because you'll probably have a little downtime for the holidays.
No, this year I don't. We're doing this Christmas tour, and we're playing Christmas Eve. We're driving back from New Orleans. So I'm going to get back just in time to spend the afternoon of Christmas Eve and the Christmas Eve night at my house. And we do it. Our family, my wife is an unbelievable cook, and we go all out on Christmas Day. We do lobster. We fly in lobster from Maine, and we do it up right. And it's fun to come see my brother-in-law come eat two whole lobsters. It's crazy.
I didn't know if, like, on your downtime you had any, like, hobbies like that where you did some cooking or any of that around the house and just kind of had any special dishes.
I'm a great eater, but no, at my house, my wife is such an incredibly good cook. You know what, man? I try to get into hobbies and stuff, and man, they just fall by the wayside because my real hobby is music, and I have to stay focused on guitar playing, singing, and I did get a lot into building my own recording gear. You know, I've built some really nice microphones and microphone preamps, and I've got a little studio, and I tinker and build and modify stuff in there and make recordings. And so really that's my hobby.
Cool. Hey, that's a fun hobby. Tinkering like that is fun. Do you ever plan on designing a guitar or building a guitar from scratch or anything like that?
You know what? No, because that's gets more into woodworking, and I'm just not really into that too much. I don't know if I'll ever go down that road. That's a pretty heavy endeavor. I mean, I've had friends that have tried it and failed miserably. You know, pretty smart guys, too. So, what I do is so focused on music that I've been focusing a lot lately on my singing, and working on that, as well as the whole thing with, like I said, recording gear. And I've got enough stuff to have a really nice studio if I ever had a good place. But, we have a ratty little kind of half rehearsal space, half studio that we do a lot of stuff in. But my gear is real good. I've got vintage tape machines, vintage preamps, vintage tube mics, mics that I built myself. And then I have all the modern stuff too, Pro Tools and all that stuff. I can do that too. Someday I'm going to have my own place. That's what I really want, have a really nice live room and control room and all that kind of stuff. When I win the lottery.
Hey, you might have a platinum record with this next one, and that might help you be able to get your place.
Yeah, I know. This next album is going to be a platinum album.
It could be.
Yeah, you never know. That's right.
I know it's going to be a booty shaker. That I do know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely booty shaker. Baker. Yeah, we got this piano playing kid with us that's unbelievably cool. He's really, really good at playing that New Orleans style piano.
How did you find him?
He just showed up at a gig in West Virginia. He's kind of based out of Pittsburgh over here, but he came to a show in West Virginia and introduced himself, and then I saw him play on YouTube, and it was real close to the style of piano player that playing I'd like, you know, that straight eight rock and roll, and then rhythm and blues, you know, Louisiana rhythm and blues, kind of, you know, Professor Longhair, Dr. John kind of stuff, and he's really good.
I am looking forward to seeing you at the Ardmore here in Pennsylvania, right outside the city of Philadelphia. Again, that show is December 13th, and you're going to be doing a little bit of Christmas show mixed into the rock and roll that you always do, and you'll also have Big Sandy with you this time.
Right.
He'll be doing what Unknown Henson did last time.
Exactly, exactly. So you nailed it. You nailed it. That's exactly what it is.
And I thank you very much for your time. We will see you. I know you've got to get back and do your thing.
Thank you, Marcus. I appreciate your help.
You bet. And we look forward to seeing you next week. And thank you again.
All right. Take care.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.